Do prisoners have to lose their families as part of their punishment for committing crimes? Although it may never be stated in the sentencing, defendants given long, perhaps lifelong, sentences in supermax facilities far from the communities where they grew up, loss of family is a consequence of prison that may be the most painful part of the punishment. In many cases, repeat offenders may have already become estranged from family and loved ones, but why should the prison system enforce a punishment on innocent family members and deny defendants their only means of any emotional support?
Where are you calling tonight?
I'm calling from Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And my husband, he's actually in the federal penitentiary in Kentucky.
Hey, man. I'm just overwhelmed right now, man. I miss you, big dog. Keep your head up, man. All that. Love you, man.
Hi, this is a shout-out to Michael Dennis Austin at Red Onion State Prison. This is your mom. I'm calling to let you know that you're a new uncle.
You're the man that touches my heart. You're there to always listen and reassure me and protect me. And you're my love and my best friend.
This program on WMMT Radio is called Calls from Home. It's part of the Restorative Radio Project, which gives voice to families on the air, to inmates listening from deep inside two supermax prisons in Southwest Virginia. Radio producer Sylvia Ryerson has helped families connect through prison walls. Sylvia introduced us to Michelle Hudson, whose fiancé William is serving a 60-year sentence.
The prisons I worked with are in far Southwest Virginia, so a lot of the families live 6, 7, 8 hours away. So even just getting there for a visit is extremely difficult. The times they're allowed to visit are very strict and limited. Phone calls are very expensive. You know, letters are read by prison officials. So that's what's so beautiful about the medium of sound. It's something that can really permeate that barrier.
Hi, Devon. This is G-Ma, Grandma Essie. And I'm so blessed that we are on our way to church today, and your mother should be there. And after church, all of us will talk to you.
Tell me a little bit about Essie.
I first spoke to Essie in the studio at WMMT. She would call in every week to leave a message for her grandson, Devon, who's incarcerated at one of the supermax prisons the station reaches. And so for that piece, I met her at her home in Roanoke, Virginia, about 4 hours away, and just spent the entire day with her and her family. We went to church, and then we came home and had a fish fry with her entire extended family.
All right, Devon, guess what? We're back at home.
Great's in the process of making our rice and our peas, so I'm getting ready to go back here and drop this fish. So this is our chief cook in here.
Making four cheese rice, homeboy. And we're going to drop some fish.
And the idea was that Devon would listen to this and be in the picture.
That's right. Essie did an incredible job of, you know, narrating the journey and what was happening when, and sort of including him in the space.
And prison officials censored this, listened to it beforehand. What were the rules?
We followed all FCC regulations, and the prisoners are able to have MP3 players where they can tune into local radio stations. And so he was ready and listening.
You know, these are serious offenders. I mean, whatever you may think about supermax or solitary confinement, these are people who have made serious mistakes in their lives. How much is that a part of the conversation with families, and just in terms of how much them being in prison has changed the life of their loved ones on the outside?
I mean, I think once I got to know these families and heard more about the specifics of the cases of their loved ones, you realize it's much more complicated. Every single family I worked with was not able to afford a lawyer, facing extremely long sentences, extremely far from home, and really, in many cases, did not have a fair trial or court process. You know, once people go to prison, daily life goes on. And I think that's something that many of us don't have to grapple with.
So, Michelle, how did you decide to participate in this whole radio project?
I was contacted by Sylvia because I call into the Calls from Home show every Monday night, and I thought it would be wonderful considering the amount of time that William's been incarcerated.
How long is his sentence?
As of now, he still has 60 years left to serve.
And he's your fiancé?
And he's my fiancé.
It's almost like he's on the show if everyone's sending these messages to their loved ones, including you.
The show has become very important to a lot of families outside of just William. There are other men, and from what I hear, there are other women in the Appalachian area that listen to this radio station just to hear the stories or the love or just life in general, what's going on and you know, with work, kids, animals, you name it. I mean, we share just about everything on that radio station, and it gives everybody a little taste of home.
It's night time, bedtime, it's late. I would say it's Friday night, but it's probably about 1 a.m. So it's Saturday again, and I'm missing you. I can't stand this lockdown.
Now, he's not the only one hearing that, right? It's everybody on the radio station that's hearing it, right?
It's everybody that hears that.
And here's another recording, another example of how you've been able to, you know, break the prison wall down.
He's so silly. Come on, Troy.
Hey, Uncle, I love you. I wish we could spend time together and talk to each other. I love you very much.
Aww. Aww. Beautiful, Troy. Beautiful.
Now, just tell me the circumstances of what you're doing there. You're basically gathering tape from William's family, right?
Right. I went to his mother's house that weekend, and I asked whoever could possibly be there to just come there. I just wanted to record some sound. So his sister Tanya came over with her son Troy. I just sat the recorder on the table, and we talked. We talked about him, things that he did growing up, and I just wanted to capture their voices and sounds that he doesn't typically get to hear every day, but that would bring back those memories.
What do you think the message is for America generally, faced with an unsustainable incarceration situation nationally?
Oh, wow. I feel that what America should take away from this is that each individual person has a different story. And if they would take the time to get involved, I think they would find out that we have a system that really needs a lot of reform. You know, we talk about corrections, and when I got involved, I've never been involved with prison. I've never visited anybody in prison before, so all of this was new to me. And a lot of times, I think as Americans, we just assume the worst, that each person that's in prison has done the worst. They've committed the worst crime. They deserve to be there. They deserve the abuse. They deserve the punishment and even the sexual harassment that comes with being incarcerated. And I don't know. I feel like sometimes we become more calloused, and I've decided to become part of the solution versus the problem.
Prison reform, Sylvia?
Yeah. Dealing with the crisis of our prison system goes beyond just dealing with the institutions of prison, but it's about transforming the entire way our society operates and keeping people from being incarcerated in the first place.
So you think of yourself as part of the social network, really, in the sense that most of these people will be going back to society, and the more contact they have with their loved ones and their family members, the better prepared they will be.
Exactly. And that's sort of where the title of the project comes in, Restorative Radio, is this idea of restoring a sense of connection with your family, with your community that has been so decimated by the way our prison system operates. But through these messages, to help give people the strength to remember that when they do get out, they have a positive role to play when they come home.
Well, Sylvia Ryerson, producer of Restorative Radio, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John.
And Michelle Hudson, participant in the radio project, good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.